At the conclusion of the Holy Gospel, our Blessed Savior says, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck. Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Walk then as children of the light. St. Paul's epistle links last Sunday's light gospel, the splendor of the Transfiguration, with today's Mass. And today we're remembering we have a place there. We're children of light. Most Holy Mary, Our Lady of Light, she links us with the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. She is his mother and our own, and we who were heretofore darkness are now children of light. This past Monday, I was out walking among the children of men. Well, actually, I was at an outlet mall with Father Cicada. He needed to restore his sock drawer, and we were heading to the Gold Toe store. Well, my watch had been out for a while. It needed a fresh battery, I figured. So I ducked into a jewelry store to get the battery changed, and they were all very friendly. It was a quiet Monday afternoon. And the lady I took to be the manager, this was a real slice of life. She was watching a video live cam of April, the pregnant giraffe. And sometimes up to 80,000 people watch that. And the idea is you just watch to see when she's going to give birth, and that's been going on for several weeks now. In the meantime, Elliot, one of the men on the staff, he took care of me, and he got to talking. It took a while to get the watch closed again. He got to talking about, what did I think about the president? What did I think about the Pope? And he liked both of them. He really did. And it obviously had been following things. And what about that business about the Pope thinking about having married priests? And then he sees a connection. The idea is that Protestant idea is, it's not so special. It's all just natural. So then the next thing he says is, he looks at me, he looks up from the watch, and he says, "You know, we believe that Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus was born." So we talked about that for a bit, and then we went on to cover a number of other topics, including, of course, confession and getting to heaven. And the lady with the giraffe video, she looked up and said, "Well, I think that as long as we're all praying to the same God," and, well, you know the rest of that story. And as Elliot's talking to me, I said to him finally, "You know, as you're talking, I'm listening with one ear for a good sermon story for Sunday." And I think that I got it. And I got more than that because he didn't charge me for the battery change. So I got that free. Cardinal Mueller, who is the Vatican's watchdog for doctrinal purity, he doesn't believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary either, any more than Elliot, who proudly informed me he's Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, but he used to be a Baptist. Well, Mueller is just a plain old traditional modernist, and remarkably, he recently asked Bishop Fellay of the Pius X Society to come back to the modern church so they could join forces to fight modernism. Well, what's left to fight? Someone asked me after Mass last week about Our Lady's marriage with Saint Joseph. It was a good question. Isn't having children and populating the earth a good thing and the very point of marriage? How would you answer? When you get into these religious discussions, of course, it's only later that you think, "Oh, I should have said such and such a thing." But you know, the mere fact of being in the discussion and listening, just your presence, and whatever the Holy Ghost might put on your tongue to say, that's enough. Well, how would you answer such a question? Well, The answer is yes. Mary and Joseph had a child, Jesus, the son of Mary, and the son of the eternal Father. Joseph was his legal or adoptive father. Thus, in one sense, he was his true father. And then, because theirs was a virginal marriage, they went on to have many children. Yes, St. Paul writes that to Romans in the 8th chapter. Jesus Christ, firstborn of many brethren. That's the point of marriage, exactly, to have children. And this is also a little bit the point of clerical celibacy, that the priest must be a father to all his spiritual children. And Mary, her role, you and I and Elliot, only he doesn't know it because he's busy being a Pentecostal. We are all of us children of Mary. She gave birth to Jesus in the light of Bethlehem's midnight, in glory, miraculously. She gave birth to us in the dark of Calvary, in blood and in terrible agony. Mother, behold thy son. St. John Chrysostom says, if Our Lady had had other children, our Lord would never have committed her, his mother, to St. John. They would have had the duty to take care of her. Just one more scriptural proof of Our Lady's perpetual virginity. So we are the brethren of Jesus, the brothers and the sisters, that means. And St. Joseph, he has adopted us as once he adopted our Lord. Legally, by the decree of the popes, he is patron and protector over the entire Catholic Church. So the marriage of Joseph and Mary was true and so very fruitful, but virginal. St. Augustine says, look, the three component parts of marriage were there and perfectly fulfilled: fidelity, fruitfulness, and indissolubility. Fidelity, there was no adultery. Fruitfulness, there were children, and indeed, many brethren until this day and hour. And indissolubility, there was no divorce. The third offense against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for which we wish to offer reparation today, is the refusal to acknowledge Mary's spiritual maternity, her motherhood, that she is both Mother of God. A lot of people just don't like that title. Exalts her too much, no. And she is also Mother of men. She is my mother. Our catechism has two questions today. How is the Blessed Virgin the Mother of God? The Blessed Virgin is Mother of God because Jesus Christ, her Son, who was born of her as man, is not only man, but also truly God. So Jesus Christ is born of Mary in his human nature. He has to have a human nature, God's Son does, so that he may suffer and die for our sins. But you know very well that the human nature is joined to a divine nature. He's a God, and there's only one person. It is a divine person from all eternity. Jesus Christ is God as well as man, and therefore, because Mary is the mother of Jesus, she is necessarily, logically, and very simply, the mother of God. Not the mother of the Godhead, but the mother of the person who is the second person of the Trinity made man, and he is God. If we deny this, we deny the incarnation, and then the redemption that goes to when you throw out Mary and fiddle with the faith, you end up throwing out Jesus as well, and that is the experience of Protestantism. The dogmas depend upon each other. It was Nestorius, who was a monk who became the Bishop of Constantinople, who denied that Our Lady is the Theotokos, the Mother of God, the God-bearer, literally. They say he came from Antioch, which was a town that prided itself on its philosophy, and he was just done in by too much complicated or fancy philosophizing. Philosophy is meant to be the servant, the tool for expressing the faith, but ever when it gets into the driver's seat, you're liable to have a crash. The Council of Ephesus declared solemnly that Mary is indeed the Mother of God, and this is our faith. It's just a logical deduction. But there's more to it. There is her divine maternity, which distinguishes Mary from all other creatures, and this is the source of all of the honors which she has received from God in view of the motherhood which she preserved from original and actual sin. And this motherhood is something she shares, parenthood I mean, with God the Father himself. Think of it. Here she is a creature, but she is so elevated that she is the mother and God is the Father of her Son, Jesus Christ. Between the Father and the Mother in this magnificent family, there is no competition and there is no loss of honor to Almighty God. He chose her to be the mother of his Son. Second question, is the Blessed Virgin our mother also? She is our mother also because being the brethren of Jesus, you remember the phrase now, we are children of Mary. We're the brethren of Jesus. He shared our same human nature with us, like us in all things save sin, St. Paul writes to the Hebrews. Also, his adoptive brethren are we by means of baptism. Divine grace makes us sons of the same Father in heaven. In other words, we share something with him, he shares something with us. We are all of us children of Mary because we're the brothers of Christ, her son, already by nature, the human nature that he received at the incarnation. Jesus Christ he's a human being. He has a human nature. He's a relative, a brother to all of us. But then, by means of baptism, this is all elevated. And now, in a second and more sublime way, is Jesus Christ our brother because we're adopted into his family. Do you see that beautiful two-way relationship of the divine maternity? Therefore, she loves us so much, she who received us as her children at Calvary, and we must love her, and we must imitate her virtues. And this is the sense of Catholic devotion to Mary. For a Catholic, devotion to Our Lady is not a matter of weights and measures, a fear lest I should give her too much. No, I give her everything. She is my mother. Why wouldn't I trust her with all that I have? She preserves me and cares for me and keeps me close to God. So the Hail Mary comes naturally to my lips in the course of the day, and I wear my scapular, and I pray my rosary with her each day, and I keep festivals in her honor, and I love her, and I turn to her at all times. Our response to the errors of Protestantism and of modernism is to put Mary in her place. Sometimes people talk that way, don't they? But we put her exactly where Jesus Christ placed her. He put himself in her care, and he put us, his brethren, his mystical body, there as well in her care. Final question. Why did that woman, at the end of today's gospel, raise up her voice in praise of Mary? Well, St. Matthew says that it was just at that point that the Blessed Mother arrived on the scene, and she sees the Mother, and she's been so marveling at the Son that her way of praising the Son more, of making reparation for the coldness and the pride of the Pharisees who will not acknowledge our Lord's divinity, her way to do it is to praise the Mother. And do you see? We're still doing that today in our reparation with all of our Fatima devotion. See how this very humble woman offers her reparation to Jesus by and with Mary. Blessed is the womb that bore thee, she says, praising her who carried him, whom all the world cannot contain. Our Lord, in his response to this Holy Ghost-inspired act of reparation from that woman in the crowd, praises the double blessedness of his mother, and he points out its essence in how that you and I can share even now in that same happiness. It's a family, and a family that wants to share the happiness, of course, because Our Lady heard the divine word, and she kept the divine word in her heart. God's will for her was to be the mother of God. Well, then be it done unto me according to thy word. And then as she assents to the divine word, the word of God, the second person of the Trinity, comes into her heart and is made man in her womb. And she keeps her dear son for 9 months of her expectation. And even after she gives birth to him, she always has her son in her heart. So in a word, we may not only have Mary for a mother, but we can share a little bit. Our Lord says this twice in the Gospels, in that act of motherhood, in that act of keeping or bringing forth in our lives the Word of God by listening and by assenting. What happiness is ours. She helps us. She shows us the way. She even urges us on a little bit at times. And blessed are we to have such a mother, the mother of God and the mother of man. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.